Any questions from anyone?
Has worn off that they're overdosing. The couple, they may feel like they're overdosing. They've overdosed on one another. But then what it comes down to is a question of commitment. Right? So he made the example, gave the example, he's saying that someone traditionally in family life, they may tolerate very much abuse from their spouse or family members, extended family members, but they continue on in that situation. And then he said, but the devotees say one thing wrong to them and they're ready to leave. So what we have to understand is the value of what it is we're being given exposure to, and what we've come in connection with. Srila Guru Maharaj, he had his own history in Gaudiya Math. And he mentioned, before he joined actually, he was going to hear the classes, the talks of Srila Saraswati Thakur every day in one period. And Srila Guru Maharaj is noted for his acute hearing capacity, that he can listen very, very intently and extract very much from what has been heard. So one devotee noticed that every evening at Saraswati Thakur's lecture, he saw Guru Maharaj, and remember, he hadn't joined yet, so he'd see someone sitting in the audience, and he thought, he listened so intently that the only person, people we know who are like that are spies. Yeah. I remember back at this time, this was when, India was still under British rule. So they had spies infiltrating religious organizations to see if they were in fact really religious organizations, or that was a front for some kind of, covert political agenda. So this man, he thought, nobody listens like that. He's a spy. So the next evening, Srila Guru Maharaj came to me, and the man, I mean, it sounds humorous in retrospect, but anyway, Guru Maharaj comes in and the man says,
"No, I am sorry, but you cannot attend the class today."
Why he spoke to him in Indianized English, I don't know. Anyway, but that's what he said. He said, "No, you cannot." And Guru Maharaj was insulted. Like, he couldn't believe it, that he's expressing some appreciation for Saraswati Thakur and Mahaprabhu's conception, and this seems like the culmination of his life, and then this man's telling him, "You won't be allowed to attend the lecture this evening." It was, crazy. So Guru Maharaj, he felt some internal disturbance, and he decided to go for a walk. And then he started dialogue in his mind, and he thought, Saraswati Thakur, who is he? What is it he represents? Everything I conceive to be the ultimate substance, divine realization. He's the agent to connect me to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and Radha Govinda. He has all that. But then there are some surrounding him that appear as intolerable sometimes. So then he thought, but going from back and forth, considering each side, but ultimately thought, but Saraswati Thakur, he personifies that divine substance with which I want to be connected, and I want to offer myself in service to. So on the basis of that, I'm going to tolerate all these other things. So this is how we have to view these kind of situations, that have to see things in perspective, that over some relatively trivial social circumstances or social interaction, we're willing to abandon connection with the very thing that gives meaning to our existence. So, Guru Maharaj also, he said that what was required for ashram life, he said, was, he mentioned it, dal and gall. And what he meant by this, he said, you have to be prepared for these two things. Dal, the dal beans, dalsu, because it's the, in India, they were talking about a classic ashram situation in India. It's the cheapest food there is. That's what they're going to serve in the ashram. We're very fortunate here that that is not our situation. Otherwise, we'd be having, you know, compote and borscht every day. But she's going, yeah! But, alright, strike that from the record. But you get the idea. So the dal, because it's very cheap. It's the cheapest food. And gall here meaning that the way he said it at the time was the least qualified person in the ashram is your boss. When you're starting, because there's some hierarchy, there's like the guru and the mat manager, the mat rakak, the temple commander, mat commander, this. And then, you know, when you're the new person, then that person is your boss. So, speak of Siddhanta Maharaj, I say that because I have deep love for him and he for me. I can joke like this. No, I know. His famous thing was, I think I'm all Hare Krishna'd out.
Let's say it again.
I can't say it again. But here's such a sweet-hearted person that everyone, when they tell how they got involved in Krishna consciousness, if not everyone, many or most, they'll talk about they were searching spiritually. They'll give some story like that. And then they come in connection with devotees. Somehow it's some variation or version of that kind of a story. But with Siddhanta Maharaj, he's saying, when he met Srila Prabhupada, this is Prabhupada in San Francisco, and there's no substantial temple or anything yet. Siddhanta Maharaj said, he looked like he needed help. Who Gaurav described as Shaktivesh avatar, he fulfilled Mahaprabhu's divine prediction, Jimiteyate, Datta Nagarati Brahm, Sarvatra Prachar Hoyve Gornam, Bhakti Vinod Thakur's prediction, Saraswati Thakur's desire. So Siddhanta Maharaj says, he looked like he needed some help. And that's how pure his heart is, because he saw that Prabhupada had no car, any transportation. So Siddhanta Maharaj said, like, Prabhupada liked to go for a walk every day at this, it's actually called, what is it called, Swan Lake? Well, that's a ballet. But I think there's a lake or something like that. No, that's Salt Lake, that's a city and a lake, but in Utah. This is in San Francisco by Golden Gate Park. I'm pretty sure it's called Swan Lake. Maybe they named it after the ballet, but it's a beautiful, Golden Gate Park is a beautiful park, and Prabhupada liked to go for a walk every day. Like, and he did this religiously, if you want to say, forever. Every morning, at around 6 o'clock, he went for a walk. Whether it's cold, whatever the temperature is, he did that. And so Siddhanta Maharaj would drive him there in his car, and like that. And then he, at one point, was the president of the San Francisco Temple in Haight-Ashbury. And some very famous devotees joined at that time, namely Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Vishnu Jana Maharaj. Like, wow, Siddhanta Maharaj was the president of that temple, Atma. So, we find ourselves in trying circumstances from time to time in ashram life, if you want to call it that, or pursuing Krishna consciousness. Once, with regard to the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, and how Prahlad's tortured by his father, and so many varieties of ways, just cruel, inhumane torture. Guru Maharaj said, one thing we learned from the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj is that if you're going to pursue Krishna consciousness, prepare yourself for a life of trouble. You know, that's one of the things we learned. But we also know that when Prahlad's in deep trouble, the Lord comes to personally rescue him. That kind of thing. When Narada in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, he's praising Yudhisthira Maharaj and the Pandavas and your pastimes with Krishna, and he's saying, so wonderful. And then Yudhisthira Maharaj is saying, oh, I don't see it like that. I think that anyone who sees our pastimes with Krishna, they'll also think being a devotee is a life of trouble, so many difficult circumstances. But Narada responds by saying, yes, we see that repeatedly you're put into difficulty, that's true. But what we learn from your pastimes is that when the devotee is having some difficulty, that Krishna comes and rescues them. That's what we learn. So in this very sweet way, they're saying, oh, this is my situation, like Gurudev said so many times. But then the other devotee seeing it from another perspective. You know, we're told, Kaunteya Priti Janahi Name Bhakta Pranasyati. And also this other famous loka, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Yejana Paryupasate Tesham Shatav Yuktanam Yoga Kshemam Bahamyaham. That, and that's the part to emphasize here. If there's something lacking on our part in terms of, we could say, the ability to adjust, Krishna will supply that somehow. Something will come usually in the form of superior association. It seems to me that's one of Krishna's preferred ways of rescuing devotees and re-inspiring them is through superior association. And I can't think of, I mean, personally, any greater example than when I was feeling very, despondent, desperate. There's another D word. Discouraged. And there's a tendency at that time to find fault with others. To think like, I'm okay. Like there's a famous book in the 70s called, or the title was, I'm okay, you're okay. It's like New Age kind of thing. But Prabhupada, he didn't like that. He'd go, no, what it should be called is, I'm okay, you're not okay. He could say things like that. Like once he severely chastised the ambassador of the Indian embassy in New York because I was fortunate to be part of a group of devotees. Prabhupada went and got our visas for us. If you can imagine that. He personally went there, talked to the ambassador and said, I've got 30 disciples I want to send to India and I want you to give them all, like, you know, missionary visas. And they did. But he preached very heavily to that man. And when he came out, Prabhupada said, he said, do you think I spoke too strongly? And who's going to say, yeah? Everyone, no, Prabhupada. No. Never. Everyone, you know. And Prabhupada, he said, actually, I did speak too strongly. He said, I can, he said, I'm old, I'm an old man, I'm an old sadhu. He said, I can do that, and he has to accept it. And he knew, we imitate everything he does. So he's like, and he said, if you do it, they will beat you. So he's like warning us, don't think because I just did that, now this is how you preach, and now you're all going to do that. You're 19 years old, I'm 79. So, yoga kshemam bahamyaham. Krishna will help the devotee. We're far from perfect. I mean, it's, that is not even the right expression. We're just so near to being totally imperfect. It would be easier to start there. Right? Like we're in that quote in the beginning of Sri Guru and His Grace, where it says, "To err is human." And what did Gurudev say about, he goes, one of his devotees, I would say, "To err is human," and Gurudev said, "And he's barely human." That's his, the perfect double entendre, and like, knew how to use language in a way I can understand why. The only parallel I've seen of this type of sophisticated use of language is the little fragments we hear of the Brajagopi's sweet interaction with Krishna. So you can understand why Srila Gurudev is called up into that realm, because he can be give joy to Krishna and all the super servitors with his marvelous ontological sort of humor. But there it's mentioned, this human trait, to err as human, that means ourselves, and we can understand by extrapolation others. But then Guru Maharaj says something interesting. He says that, but still there's something in us that seeks perfection. That's the wonderful thing, is we're all flawed in so many ways, but there's something inside of us that's seeking that which is not flawed, that which is perfect, that which is divine. And then he says, but that tendency is very weak. So like I've mentioned sometimes, they ask the surrealist artist, Salvador Dali. He says, "Dali, do you believe in God?" And he said, "Yes, but I have no faith." So I think this is actually a very honest answer. He is saying yes. And I think the real truth of the matter is, everyone has some intuitive belief in God. Really they do. Even atheists do. Everybody does. But faith is very weak. And so when we're in a weakened condition of faith, we have a tendency to fault find with others. Right? And that makes us want to leave the association. Right? Rather than appreciate their qualities. So, Srila Saraswati Thakur, in one of his famous talks, he says, "It is only that I am honeycombed with thousands of defects that I take the task of finding fault with others." And another, in the same talk later, he says, when one is sitting at the lotus feet of Sri Guru, one does not search for the defects of others. So we found that also, we come to the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev, and even if you're in that type of a mood, you would mysteriously, miraculously become adjusted, because you're in the proximity of pure devotion personified. And it has, whether there's a quest, a dialogue, a dialectic, is irrelevant. Just being in the presence, we become adjusted. Guru Maharaj is also, that's one of the great magnanimous qualities of the Dham. And what is the Dham? He said, just like the capital of a country, the country is more present in the capital than any other place. So he said, the Dham's like that. That's one way to think of it. But he gave this example as well, that sometimes if, like, someone has respiratory problems, they can't breathe, right? They have asthma or whatever it might be. So they'll tell them, you move to this place, like where it's very, like desert-like, and just by breathing the air there, you get cured. So Guru Maharaj said, it's like that. You go to the Dham, and you get cured. But there's literally the Dham, but also an ashram, where there's so much seva, the deity is here, there's seva, there's kirtan, all these things. This is also like a Dham, in that sense. There's so much spiritual activity, you know, it's a beehive of seva and spiritual activities. So, just by being here, someone will also benefit. So, most of the time, it is our mind and ego. It's the ego that cannot tolerate. So, and the worst thing is to divorce oneself from association. That's the mind's, like, evil trick, suggestion, is that you'll be better withdrawing from the association of devotees. And then you can re-enter at another time. Yes, it might be another lifetime. You know. So, it's better to somehow persist, continue. Because it's only through the association of devotees that anyone will make progress. When we hear of, you know, bhajanandis or these great souls who engage in the culture of devotion and isolation, you know, you could count them on not even one hand. And in the modern time, not even on one finger. Right? So that type of, you know, the Bhaktivinod Thakurs of the world, Gaur Kishore Das, you know, they're, even Guru Maharaj himself, Guru Maharaj is always engaged in internal dialogue of the highest quality. So we have to be honest also. We know what goes through our minds on a daily basis. Guru Maharaj is always engaged in this very refined internal dialogue, going over the Ramananda Sambhad, the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, various implications of Krishna conception, you know, I would say Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Prema Tattva, Radha Tattva, Krishna Tattva. He's actually thinking of these things. Our position is more, in the words of Saraswati Thakur, where he said, like, the jiva is a minor, and the mind is like an evil guardian. That's, they have stories like that, or movies like that. They're the little, the innocent children, and they're under the control of an evil guardian. That was Saraswati Thakur's example about the mind. So, how is it going to be infused with Krishna conception, Shravan, Kirtan, Smaran, without the association of devotees and the opportunities to repeatedly hear, chant, remember, honor prasadam, many things. So, you know, sadhu sangha sarva shastra hoy, lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. Told how essential association is. Guru Maharaj said at one point that Saraswati Thakur, out of all of the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he distilled the essential, if you had to put it into one word, what was it? Association. You get Krishna consciousness through association. A satsanga tyag, a vaishnava tyag. What's the first symptom of serious pursuit of Krishna consciousness? giving up bad association and situating yourself in good association. So it's not a simple thing of like, oh, just go off for a little while and, no, that little while, you know, could be a yuga or a kalpa. So it's better to find some other kind of adjustments to make. You know, and this is really more targeting modern ashramic situations. Because previously, I mean, what is like a real ashram and Guru Maharaj's concept, a real mod and ashram? We wouldn't survive. And let's just, you know, in the modern world you have like yogis living in a Himalayan cave with broadband. So those, just like a mat is supposed to be exclusively composed of brahmacharis and sannyasis. That's what a mat is. An ashram, there's more possibility. But this is all from a Vedic point of view. So many adjustments have been made by Kunta Vritti, Saraswati Thakur, speaking of this liberal, all-encompassing, inclusive approach to giving association. So, as Saraswati Thakur saw, out of all of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching, this is the most important thing, is association. Because it's through association. We can say, well, what about the holy name? Like, what are the five things, you know, Nam Sankirtan, Bhagavat Sravan, what are the others? Mathura Bas, Murti Pratishta, and one other, Nam Sankirtan. Bhagavad, Sravan, and some, it must be Sadhu Sangha. Yeah, anyway. But he is saying this is the most essential thing to get association, and he formed Gaudiya Math or Vaishnava Seva, as a means to give association to others. That's what this is about. That's what we're doing now. This is association. And by living here and associating with one another, we're actually maintaining each other spiritually. So, we'll be very cautious about withdrawing to a position of isolation. And Guru Maharaj, in his words, he said, we're very fortunate that we are forced to discuss these things. He said, we're forced to talk about Krishna, Radharani, Guru. That's our good fortune. So, and it's mentioned repeatedly in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when again, I said before, perhaps, or recently, Sukadeva, remember, Parikshit Maharaj is fasting till death, and all these other sages, they're not eating either. They didn't like bring sandwiches with them. So, and Sukadeva, he's saying, as you know, this is going on day after day, they're both enlivened. And Parikshit Maharaj is saying, I'm drinking this Harikatha, the nectar of the topics of Krishna from you, and I don't feel thirst, I don't feel hunger, I don't feel weak. I'm feeling super enlivened. And Sukadeva's enlivened speaking it, he's enlivened hearing it, and everyone's becoming nourished. So sometimes though, because, you know, if you're reading this, like we'll say, like, all right, I can handle this much of it. I read this much and I can't do it. But there, you know, it's a continuous eternal stream of Hari Katha, of Krishna Katha. And they will say, they'll mention from time to time that we may be in our conditioned state naturally averse to that. But he'll say, please continue speaking in this way so that we can gradually learn to appreciate it. That's the beauty of hearing these things, is unlike mundane subject matters, like, you know, you say, oh, I heard that story. I read that story. I read that book. Here, I mentioned earlier about Kaliya, because I'm going to read this in the Bhagavatam. Been reading this pastime for 40 years. It's getting better. It's becoming more interesting. More things are being revealed now. I've been reading this on and off for 40 years. And new things are coming from it. So that it has some divine characteristic and quality. So, but we know it, we're not to imitate Parikit, Maharaj, and Sukadev, so we have a certain amount, when you say like overdose. They never overdose. The great devotees. Like, if anything, Srila Gurumaharaj's, Gurudev's favorite sloka, something he said of all time, but particularly in the conclusion of the Prapana Jivanamritam, which what did Gurumaharaj call? He said, this is nectar, life-giving nectar for surrendered souls. Those who are surrendered souls, this will be life-giving nectar to them. To read something like Paramahansa Maharaj, the famous Gaudiya Math Paramahansa Maharaj, said, I read this book every day. He was Saraswati Thakur's personal attendant. His name was Paramananda Prabhu. He joined when he was very young. So he said, I'm reading a little bit of Prapana Jivanamritam every day, a chapter or something, like to keep myself enlivened. But in the end there, I'm recalling once that we're in Soquel with Srila Gurudev, and Hashapriya Prabhu was presenting the honey, the first capture, I don't even know what the right terms are, but you know, from the honeycombs, from the bees, you know. And it was like a happy moment, and they're giving this honey to Srila Gurudev, and he's a very mysterious personality. Don't know exactly what his mood was, but suddenly he said, oh, I'm feeling a little sad. And everyone was like surprised, because it was like a very happy moment. And Gurudev said, well, he said, really, this, you're taking from them, those bees, their honey. He said, that's not what Guru Maharaj describes in Prapana Jivanamritam. And he quoted this sloka, which he would sometimes say, this is my favorite. Begins with, Sri Srimad Bhagavat Padambuja Marutsavai Shatpadai. Guru Maharaj, it's a conclusion, and he's saying, the great devotees, they're relishing this nectarine substance, this honey-like nectarine substance, they're relishing it madly, and as they're madly tasting this, right, some drops are dripping from their mouth, they're unconscious about that, they're just madly relishing the substance, and the drips of honey nectar are coming, and Guru Maharaj says, I'm catching that. And what I caught from them, I'm presenting here in this book. So, we have to know, there is a plane of such personalities. We don't want to search what's the least common denominator. and then descend from there. But rather, we want to look toward the higher plane. Yes, maybe from time to time we exceed our capacity, our limited capacity. That should not lead one to abandon shelter, but rather recognizing your own limited capacity. Asraya loya bhaje tari Krishna. Nahit akarane mare akarana gelo. To take shelter of those devotees who are relishing that. That's our process. And Siddhanti Maharaj, Bhakti Premik Siddhanti Maharaj, he may have said so many things, because he's an honest devotee, but you see, what did he do? What he did was, whenever feeling this way, it pushed him to take greater shelter at the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev. So he may, being an honest, humble devotee, express some discouragement or overload, overdose, whatever you want to call it, from time to time. But he showed by his behavior that he went deeper, he made a deeper connection with the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev and his service, and just sacrificed himself more. So we're looking to the upper world for guidance. Vipadakshantitakshashvatatratatrajagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhavadarshanam. Kunti, she's saying, when I am in difficulty, that's when I'm the necessity of the circumstance causes me to greater focus and remembrance of Krishna at that time. Because I'm in a difficult position, not the opposite. She's saying, when that circumstances arrive, then I realize a greater need, a greater necessity for remembrance of Krishna. So, that's anukulyasya sankalpa. Convert the intermediate position. Progressive devotion is to learn to convert opposition into what shall we say? To convert it into something positive and progressive. Shrotavyas, Kirtitavyas, Smartavyas, Chechchata, Bhayam. Sukadev's advice to Purihat Maharaj. Under all circumstances, continue with hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna in the association of devotees. Hare Krishna.